I got a little confession for you. It's not a big confession, but it's a little confession. From 2 weeks ago, remember when we did our helmet thing a couple weeks ago? It seems like it was last year almost, right? When we did our helmet thing, I was pretty cool with most of the helmets that I encountered, you know, when I was trying things on. But it's still sitting up here. I keep trying to get Graham to take it home with him. That Roman helmet, you remember that one when I put that one on? I had some difficulty. Do you know why? Yeah, because I have a planetoid for a head. Okay, I mean I've had a huge head problem all my life. And it's just a curse, you know. I mean, hats have never been big enough. You know, my daddy used to pick on me about it, because I guess when I was little I had like a massive head. I don't know. But daddy used to tell me that he hoped someday I'd grow into it. That was his phrase. You know, and I got picked on a lot about my great big head by my own people, you know, I'm okay. I mean, therapy's been good, and I made it out on the other side of that. But such is the problem that we have when, you know, if you're like me and you do have a rather large melon and you deal with stuff like that. Now, I want you to think about it for just a moment. Now that I've got you thinking about, you know, large heads, now you're not just focusing on mine. Who's been around newborn babies before? Anyone? Okay. Newborn babies have a great and tremendous difficulty lifting up their own head. You know what I'm talking about? And it's like one of our first parental victories is when our kid does pick their own head up and hold it up, right? You know what I mean? Where they can actually move it, so it's not like this anymore. It's like, oh, they're controlling their head. But do any of you know why a newborn has such horrible difficulty, is physically incapable in its earliest days of being able to lift its own head? Does anybody know why? Yeah, it's big. And Katie got mad at me when we were talking about this the other day, I think. But a baby's head, if you ever looked at it, I mean, babies are cuddly, beautiful, little, awesome little things, right? But if you look at them really close, the head does not fit the body. Am I right? Do I know what I'm talking about, Dennis? Dr. Dennis, you know what I'm saying? When a baby is born, of course, you know, a baby is born, and bless you women, you know, God just rise up and call you blessed that you pass those things forth from you. Because, you know, a baby's head isn't even like fused together. It's got little floating plates that can squeeze, because if it tried to come out full and inflated size, it would be a problem. But a baby's head is huge, man. I'm not kidding with you. It's big. The normal human body, if you're normal, I'm not normal, so I can't proclaim this, but in the normal human body, the head occupies about 1/8 of the total height, the length of the human body. When a baby is born, the size of the head is about 1/4 of the baby's body. So it's basically saying the head is like 2 times too big for the baby's body. And literally, a baby has to grow into the head. Now, your head, you might not realize this, but by the time you're 5 years old, when you're about 5, your head is roughly the size that it's going to be when you're an adult. So don't pick on that 5-year-old with the big head, you know what I'm saying? Leave him alone. It scars him forever, I'm just telling you, leave him alone. But by about age 5, your head is kind of the size it's going to be. It might grow a little bit, but, you know, obviously, when you're 5 years old, you've got another 12, 14, 15 years of body growing still going on, that your body literally grows into its head. The human body does that. It's just something that most people with a normal growth pattern are born with, a really big head, and you grow into it over time. Now, I want you to keep that image in mind, because that physical picture, of course, we're talking about head, heart, and hands, right? Do you have that slide up for me? Zach, where's my head, heart, and hands? Oh, so he's supposed to bring that one up too, you know. We're dock his pay, Mark. Dock his pay. Man, we're talking about head, heart, and hands, right? And the development and growth of our faith and how it involves all these things. Well, we're still focusing on the head. Today we're talking about growing into the head. Now, keep the physical image of the human body growing into and catching up with the size and function of the human head. Now let's translate that body image picture over to the church. We actually call the church a name pretty often that involves the word body. What do we call the church? Y'all better speak up, man. We'll be here all day. I know we're taping it for the podcast and stuff, but I'll tell you about that, man. No, it's the body of Christ, right? We call it the body of Christ, and Jesus Christ is known as the what of that body? The head. The head. He's referred to in the Scripture as the head of the body. Now, why is that? Why is Jesus referred to as the head? Help me out here. I don't know what's going on. Tell me. Well,
that's where the function is of the body that controls.
Okay, we're talking about control, right? The head is what occurs in the human head? The normal human head.
Chaos.
Yeah, yeah. But what all happens in there? What's going on? Thoughts, thinking, decisions. You're right. We have the mind, the brain. In fact, it's the electrical impulses of the brain transmitted to the body through that nervous system, right? That controls movement, that controls the act, that controls, you know, things that you have no control over. You know, the breathing of your lungs, the pumping of your heart, all are based upon that electricity, and it all originates in that brain. Literally, the head controls the body. Because think about it, what happens in those horrible moments, those horrible situations where someone has an injury to the brain, a brain injury. Does it just affect the head? No, it affects function, it affects movement, affects speech, it affects so many things because it is the center, it's the command center of the body. It commands and controls the body. So the growth of the body, you know, we're talking about growing into the head. The growth of the body of Christ, the church, is actually the theme of Ephesians chapter 4, which is where we're going to be today. And it seems that Paul most likely had this image of the child with an abnormally large head and that human body growing into that head. This is a picture that he used to describe the body of Christ growing into the head, into the head of the church, which is Jesus Christ. Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read from verses 15 and 16. It's a short passage today. I'm going to read this from the NIV, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to explore a little bit deeper. Read with me. It says, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Let's pray. Father, help us to focus. Help us to understand. We know that there are things about the Word that we just can't get on our own. We need You to illumine us through the power of Your Holy Spirit to rightly understand and rightly interpret this Word and then to apply it to our lives. We're talking about the church today, Father. We're talking about the head of the church, Jesus Christ, and growing into Him. Help us to see where we're deficient. Help us to be able to understand where we need to make alterations and changes in order to conform with Your plan, Your will, Your way. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, of course, Paul was not talking about our physical growth here in this passage. He's talking about our spiritual growth. Just like our physical human bodies have to catch up with the head, those in the body who are spiritually immature have to grow in order to catch up with the head of the body, Jesus Christ. And in order for that growth to happen, in order for development to occur, there has to be work. There has to be some investment. There must be things like learning, development, growth, discipleship. If we are going to grow into the head of the church, Jesus Christ, then we actually have to use our heads in order to know Him more, in order to seek Him more, in order to understand Him more. Now, this growth that Paul's talking about here doesn't happen automatically, and you know it doesn't happen accidentally. Y'all realize that, right? Y'all realize that Christians don't just trip and stumble into maturity, right? We just don't fall into growth. We don't fall into understanding and in development as believers. We have to invest time and effort. We have to invest dedication in order to develop and grow and in order to become more like Jesus. So, let's explore together and find this out. It's on your worship guide. Turn to the back where you're filling the blanks are. We're going to talk about how to grow into your head. Okay, you ready? Here's the first thing. We already talked about it a little bit, but I want you to write it down. This is where we have to start somewhere. This is our foundation. In order to grow into the head, who am I talking about there? Jesus Christ, right? So in order to grow into Jesus, here's the first thing you got to do. You have to grow upward through your relationship with Him, your relationship with Jesus. The first thing we see in this passage is how crucial our relationship with Jesus is, our personal walk with Him, how crucial that is in our growth toward Him. And first thing you got to realize is this, we have to have a goal. We have to have a goal. You need to set goals in your walk of faith. Do you realize that? And you need some milestones. You need the things that you're striving for, because the reality is in life, if we don't set goals and if we don't strive for things, what do? We don't do anything. It's not just fail, because if there's no goals, you can't fail. You know, we just bounce around. Some of us, so many believers today, and some of you, you have to tell your kids what this is, but we used to have this thing when I was growing up, when games were really cool. We had a thing called a pinball machine. It had buttons. And it had little flappers to go chunk, 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 chunk. And you actually, it wasn't something you sit there and go like this. You kids today, you're like, no. Now you had to get into it. And if that pinball machine, you know, you could actually bang it around a little bit, you know, and it would tilt. If you got too rough, it would tilt and you'd lose your quarter. But there are so many believers in this world today that are just like that little shiny steel ball in that pinball machine. And they have just shot themselves off into a life of faith, and they don't know where they're going. They just react to whatever they bump up against. Ting, 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 and they bounce around, and they wonder why they're not getting anywhere. They wonder why they're always just bouncing off of something new, something hard, something difficult, something terrible. And it's because they haven't set goals. And so the first thing we have to realize is that we're seeking to grow into the head, into our head, Jesus Christ. We got to understand, write this down, that Jesus is the goal. He is the goal of our growth. The scripture we just read said this, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. The ultimate goal of our growth has to be to become more like the head, Jesus Christ. He's the only, you know, think about it. Jesus is the only standard by which we can measure our growth. We cannot measure our growth in Christ by trying to be better than the next guy, right? Or to know more than the next guy. Jesus doesn't give a rip about your better than. What He wants is your best. And so we strive to be more like Him by growing toward Him. He talks about here, we'll grow up in all things, grow up. How many things are all things? Man, and this is, I don't know, you know, you have to get into the simple stuff sometimes because I know I have this uncanny ability to compartmentalize my life into all kinds of different things. And you can have the work part, the family part. You know, we have the relationship part, right? Some of us have a separate online identity these days. We're a different person on the internet. And then there's the Jesus part of life. And we kind of like to keep Jesus in the Jesus part. We like to keep Jesus in the Sunday part. Jesus over in the church part of life. And we cut ourselves up into little pieces as if we're some kind of complex, dividable being. But what Christ has called us to do is to incorporate him and make him master of all. In all things we'll grow into him. Not just in church, but in all things. In your relationship with your husband and your wife. Or your wife, I should say. In all things. In your relationship with your kids. All things, right? And as you, if you have the opportunity, I encourage you to keep exploring a little bit in Ephesians if you have the chance this week, because Paul fleshes this out through the rest of this letter to the Ephesians. He talks about all the all things that he's talking about. And I want to bring, I actually have some, you don't have to write these down, but they're going to come up on the screen up here. But let's think about some of these all things that he actually talks about these things, where we're supposed to surrender it to Jesus in order to become more and more like the head, Jesus Christ. Try this one out. How about your thought life? What is that, by the way? I hear preacherly people use that word all the time, your thought life. What's your thought life? Yeah, you're going to have to use your brain to answer that one, you know what I'm saying? Who all knows about your thought life? Yeah, you and the Lord. Your thought life is that private place where nobody else gets to go, right? But except for this, I'll make this disclaimer. Generally, whatever is in your head is going to come out, and it's usually going to come out of your mouth. Right? But thought life, you know, have you surrendered that to Jesus Christ? Because there, there's some dirty stuff goes on up in there. Right? There's some rebellious things that go on up in there in the thought life, right? Have you surrendered it to the Lord? What about the way you speak to other people? Our speech, man, this is a battlefield. Some of us, this is a bigger battlefield than others. But this is addressed in the Scripture. Or just the way that we treat others, just the way we act toward other people, the way we value or devalue other people. Here's one. Here's where Paul starts really getting up into everybody's business. Your family life, right? Right? It's not, everybody knows, you know, they'll say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, right? What happens at home stays at home. Is that true? No. Because somebody's going to blab. Yeah, the people who know you are going to talk. It's going to get out. You know, have you surrendered that family life? Or your work life? Your work life. I know we really like to separate that, pretend that it's different from all the rest. But have you surrendered that? And Paul actually deals with this a little bit later on, and we might not think about it that much, but dealing with Satan and his actual attack upon the believer. You know, sometimes we don't identify an attack for what it is. And sometimes we're enduring attacks from the enemy, and we're just so boo that we don't realize that we're under attack. Are you realizing? Are you surrendering? Have you given that over to the Lord? In every one of these areas of our lives, Jesus Christ is to be the standard by which we measure our growth and maturity. He is the goal of our growth, nothing else. No one else. He is the goal. But at the same time, here's what's weird. Write this down. Jesus is also the source of our growth. How's that work? I mean, he's supposed to be the goal, right? But he's the source. And I love this. I had a little piece of scripture we just read. Speaking the truth in love. You ever heard that phrase before? This is one of the most misused, misinterpreted phrases in all the Scripture. Because generally the context in which speaking the truth in love is used, people will generally use this Scripture. Well, first what they'll do is they will verbally destroy another person. I'm talking about criticism. Bam, bam, bam. Because some people have that spiritual gift. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Criticism. And they will absolutely devastate, emotionally destroy. You know, for you Trekkies out there, they will put a photon torpedo in the heart of somebody and blow them up. And then at the end, they just go, "Now I'm just speaking the truth in love." It's kind of like putting a smiley face emoticon on your text where you just told somebody something bad and you put a smiley face. Like, it's okay. I put a smiley face, right? Speaking the truth. That's not what Paul, when he uses that phrase in this passage we're studying, it's not what he's talking about here. He's not dealing so much on how we speak to others, but he's talking about the contrast that he's just written about in verse 14. He's talking about people, they're spiritual infants in the church, okay? And these people at this church that he's writing to, some of them have been led astray by teaching that was obviously not the truth. They've been led astray by lies. Does that happen? Oh, yeah. They've been led astray by stuff that was against what they knew, the truth that they had been taught. And his point is that real truth, if we grasp it, if we incorporate it, if we build our lives upon it, the truth of the Scripture, if we do that, then we are better able to resist that which is a lie. And so Paul's saying, hey guys, I'm speaking the truth to you now in love, that you are chasing after lies. You've been led astray. You're believing stuff that's not true, and you need to grasp hold of the truth. In fact, where it says here, speaking the truth in love, the Greek word is so vivid, it could literally be translated as truthing. He's saying, keep truthing. Truthing, meaning it's not just speaking the truth, but being the truth, living the truth, acting in the truth, immersing yourself in the truth. What truth is Paul talking about, though? It's not that hard to find if you go back in Ephesians. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 13. Look what he said. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation. The truth that Paul's talking about here is the gospel. And it's the gospel that is obviously centered upon Jesus Christ, because it is only in Jesus Christ that we find the truth. Right? Because what did Jesus Christ call himself? John 14, 6. He said, Jesus Christ answered, I am, which is, that's a big word, man. That's God's name, right? I am the what? The way and the truth and the life. And finish it for me. No one comes to the Father except through me. Do you want to know the truth? You want to know what's truth? Jesus Christ is the truth. He's the truth. And Paul makes that point again in Ephesians 4:21. Look what it says. Surely you have heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. So speaking the truth in love is another way of Paul describing the importance of making Jesus Christ the truth in your life, the center, the focus of everything we do. And the world is going to try to give you alternative truths. We live in an era, we live in a time where truth has somehow become whatever the poll makes truth to be. The world will feed you alternate truths. And the sad truth is that so many Christians get swept up in the current of popular opinion that they abandon what is biblical truth. So what Paul is calling this church to do is take a stand in the truth. And who is the truth? Jesus Christ. If you keep both feet and your heart and your brain planted in Jesus Christ, you are a whole lot better able to stand up against those lies when they come your way. And they will come your way, won't they? In our human bodies, well, there's a, did I make this? Put the next slide up for me. I can't remember what I did. Yeah, remember, this is what we just read a moment ago, where he says, from him the whole body that's joined and held together builds itself up in love. You see that? Building itself up in love. Did you know that in our human bodies, it is our head that controls our growth? Do you know that? Now, I'm not saying it's the brain, but there's a tiny little gland the size of a pea that's at the base of your brain. Anybody know what it's called besides Dennis? The pituitary. And that pituitary gland secretes these hormones, and probably his wife Kimberly, secretes these hormones at just the perfect moments, at the perfect times in your cycle of life. It delivers these little spurts of that hormone that stimulates your body to grow. And that's the reason, like, when we become like preteen, young teenagers, and we get like that double extra squirt, and you look kind of weird, you know, pants one day fit, and the next day they're like that. Y'all remember those days, guys? But it works just right. It just tells the body to grow. And in the church, the head, Jesus Christ, he's not just that goal, but he's also that source of the growth. He's the one who stimulates us toward growth. But in order for that growth to occur, we have to understand this. Number two, this second principle for growing into your head. You ready? You also have to grow outward through your relationships with others. Folks, this is important. Paul described it here. He said, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament. Now, this phrase is actually pretty hard to translate out of the Greek into the English. And that's why you'll find in some different translations, you'll see different words used. Some of your translations will actually use the word joint. But ligament is a little bit more vivid. But it's talking about all those places in the human body where opposing parts come together. And we know where the joints are, right? Elbow, shoulder, knee, the stuff that hurts. Right? Why do they hurt? Why do they get worse off the older you get? Because they do things and they get worn out. You want to know how important joints are and what happens when they don't work? Ask our good friend Mason Shelton. Right, Mason? They're important. They turn things. They rotate. They have a job to do. But there are these places where these parts of your body that do the work of the body are all interconnected. And Paul is using that image to show us the importance of these connections within the body in his letter to the Colossians. Colossians 2, look at what he said here. He says, do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unscriptural mind puffs him up with idle notions. He's lost his connection with the head and from the whole body, supported and held together, look at this, by its ligaments and its sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. See, in this passage, Paul emphasizes the importance of the vertical, right? The upward toward Jesus, the horizontal out toward other believers, but in all of it, Jesus Christ is the head. And that's exactly what happens. Growth happens. The function of the body works better when the members of the body are connected with one another. The body can't function properly. The body cannot grow as Jesus intends it to grow and mature without the interconnectedness of the members of the body. Paul describes it this way toward the end of our passage. He said, as each part does its work. You see that? And folks, we've long known that Christianity is not a spectator sport, right? The body can only grow as it is intended to grow when each part faithfully carries out the purpose that God has designed for it. So truly, unless we're growing together within the body, we cannot be properly connected to Christ, who's the head. You see what I'm saying? There are plenty of people that put everything into their personal vertical connection to Christ Jesus and isolate themselves from the body, and they will not be healthy. They will not grow. It takes both directions. God Himself is in community. Do you realize that? God is Father and Son and Holy Spirit, and He has chosen community with us, His creation, and we are designed to be in community with one another within the body. That's why Jesus created the church, right? It would have been just as simple to just float us all out there on our own, right? Just be individual believers out doing our thing. But we're not made that way. We're made to be in community with one another, and we to be healthy, to grow, we have to be connected to one another, like those ligaments, those joints, those sinews that Paul describes here. There's another principle of growing into the head that we need to realize. Number three, I want you to write down. And this is pretty common sense, actually, but we need to really grasp it, is that where there is proper nourishment, growth will occur. Am I right? Paul described the church as how it grows and builds itself up in love. And I got to go back to the baby again. When a baby is born, does a baby have to make any effort at all to grow? Huh? I mean, as long as you feed them, right? And they'll let you know when it's time. But as long as they're fed properly and on schedule and they don't have an innate illness or genetic problem or deformity of some kind, then the body will grow. You know, that pituitary gland will shoot forth those hormones. They're receiving nourishment. It's going to come out in the form of growth. Given the right environment, the right nourishment, growth will occur. In fact, growth actually has to be interrupted. It has to be broken, and it has to be stunted by not being properly nourished. A lack of growth, understand me, a lack of growth in any newborn anything, it's not normal, right? Growth is expected. Growth is part of the cycle of life. Now, keeping that idea of physical growth in mind, you got to understand that a similar process occurs within the church. When we are properly connected to the head, Jesus Christ, when we maintain our connections through the body, growth is going to occur. But if we're not connected right in either direction, then the growth will be stunted. And there's absolutely no program, no plan, no ministry, no book you can buy down there at Lifeway that can manufacture growth on your behalf if you refuse to be connected to your Savior or to your brother. It is not going to happen. Now, I'm still in the land of babies today, okay? Y'all want to see a cute baby? I got a baby picture I want you to look at right here. Check out this baby picture. That's one cute little dude, isn't it? Can someone identify this animal for me? What is it? It's a giraffe. Yes, that was supposed to be easy. Some were like, is that a trick question? No, it's a baby giraffe. Now, I know if you look at a giraffe, you think about the body form on a giraffe. And if you look at it, you look at it realistically, the head on giraffe is actually pretty little compared to the rest of it. You know what I mean? You know, but that still, if you were up there beside that little dude, that's a big head. All right? Now, giraffe has a pretty interesting cycle when it's born. There's a guy named Gary Richmond that wrote a book called A View from the Zoo. And he tells about the birth of the baby giraffe. Now, the first thing when a baby giraffe is born, what comes forth first through the birth canal out into the world are the front hooves and the head. It comes out head and front hooves first. Horses probably do pretty much the same thing, don't they? No? I don't know. I mean, I don't know my animal husbandry, you know what I'm saying? But okay, but a giraffe comes out head and feet first, all right? And it doesn't take long before the plucky little newborn comes forth. And of course, the mother giraffe giving birth, do you know what position she gives birth from? Standing. And if you've ever seen a full-grown one, there's quite a distance between the exit and the ground. Roughly 10 feet. So the baby giraffe emerges head and feet first, and then it tumbles forward 10 feet, and it's just the perfect distance. So when it falls out, it tumbles and lands flat on its back, just sprawled out, kicking and everything, and that's its initial shock. You know, if you think about all the movies when the babies are born and how they'll smack the baby or something. Y'all remember that when they used to beat the baby, right, when it come out? You know? That's the slap that the baby gets. The giraffe hits the ground. Pretty good slap. You know, smack. And it hits the ground. Then it rolls over. Every one of them does this. It rolls over upright. And it shakes itself a little bit. And it's from this position that it looks at its world for the first time. And like most babies, it comes out and it's like, what is up with this? You know, I mean, this is nowhere, nothing like where I've been recently. You know, it's right here, you know. And this is on the African savanna. This is when it's happening in the wild. It's just out in the open. And so that baby, its instinct is to tuck its legs up under itself like a dog will do almost. You know, just nestle its legs up under there. And it sits there and it's pondering things. It's looking around. It's like, hey, this is pretty cool. That must be what I look like, I guess. I don't know, you know. And it's sitting there chilling. And the mother will inspect it. She's still standing over her baby. She will swing her big dinosaur neck down and look at it to make sure it's all right. And then mama giraffe does something that you mothers are going to think is pretty unthinkable. She takes two steps forward, looks back and checks her line. She picks up one hind leg and bam, she kicks that baby, just rolls it like a bowling ball. And then it uprights itself. She walks over to it, straddles him, gets her distance, just like a good NFL place kicker, you know what I mean? Rears back and bam, kicks it again. And she keeps doing it. She kicks this baby, it rolls over, over and over again. And this is process, it looks like she's trying to kill it. And this baby is like you know, and it gets more and more exhausted. And then finally it decides, the only way that I'm not going to get kicked is to move somewhere where I can't get kicked. And so it finally struggles to its feet. And this is within 15 minutes of being born. On its wobbly legs, and it's standing there, and it's, you know, looking at the world. And mama looks at it with tremendous satisfaction. And then you know what she does? She walks over one more time, gets her line. Bam! Kicks him, knocks him off his feet, rolls him one more time. Do you know why? Why? She wants it to remember how it got up. And you know what it does? If it's healthy, it gets up. And if it's not, you know what happens? Something has dinner. Because everything above it in the food chain on the African savannah, if you're talking lions and hyenas and leopards and whatever, you know, just wild dogs, everybody loves them a good chunk of baby giraffe. And it will feed a large group. And the only way for that baby giraffe to survive is to get on its feet within minutes of being born and get in the middle of the herd and move with the herd, because that's the only place where safety is. That's the only place where life is. That's the only place where success and reproduction will occur. You know what I'm saying? So what's the point? Church, consider this word from Paul today to be one of the many kicks in the head that you're going to receive from the Word of God throughout your lifetime of trying to grow in Him. Because the reality is, there are no excuses for not growing in your faith. There are none. There is no rational reason for any believer in the 21st century church, with all the tools of teaching and discipling that are available to you, with the weekly Sunday morning gathering that we have that is all about the head and the mind and the heart and learning and knowing the Lord more. And regrettably, it's something that so many people in our culture and even the church today kind of treat as like optional part of life. And it's one of the most critical parts of our growth in Christ. It's no excuse for any believer to remain floundering around as a spiritual infant for all their spiritual lives, and yet that is what so many so-called Christians manage to do. They manage to do. It is pathetic. It's unthinkable. It's sad. How? You know, we're all about, in the church, it seems, that ever since I've been a part of the church, and I'm starting to get to where I've been around a while. But we're all about being born again, right? Being born in the kingdom of God. But the reality is, that's as far as a lot of people ever got, was being born. And that's not natural, is it? What's expected of something that's born? Growth and development and growing into what it is that you have been intended and called to do. So, church, what about you? Are you ready to get spiritually and mentally fed and grow into the head of your church? And His name is Jesus, by the way. Hear me? Is that what you want? Is that what you desire in your life? Man, I hope so. Heads bowed, and eyes closed, everybody. As we come to our response time this morning, I want to offer a few challenges to the body. You know, there might be somebody here who's never actually connected with the head, and I'm talking about Jesus Christ. You've never responded to the truth that He is the only way to God, and you've never placed your faith in Him and in Him alone as your forgiver, as the master of your life. And I just urge you, beg you, please don't leave today without making such a commitment. There's some of you who've been coming to church here for quite some time, but you've never actually made a commitment to becoming a member, a part of this church family. And that's really kind of one of the first steps of growth through a local body. And I'll show you in a minute, and there's a simple way to do that. We've got a decision card. There's one box you can check on there. I want to become a member of this body, and then we'll help you move through in that process. Some of you need to make that decision and check that box. Write me a note. Tear off that flap and start that process today. But most of us have been at Crossroads for a while. Already members here, but if you'll make an honest assessment of your life in the body, you'll have to admit that maybe you haven't been doing your part to connect with the Lord for a while. Or to connect with the body. You've been maybe treading water, just kind of holding on, marking time. What steps do you need to make to connect? What steps do you need to take in order to grow in your faith into the head, who is Jesus Christ? I want to pray with you. Father, I'm just humbled by your word. I'm once again awed by the simplicity and the power of what it is you've called us to. Something we don't think about much, but you've called us to grow. You've called us not to remain static, not to remain the same. We are called to grow in you, and that growth in our spiritual lives, it starts in our mind, it starts in the head. As we grow to connect to the spiritual head of our church, Jesus Christ. If there's a soul that's in this house today who's never trusted you personally, I pray that today they would call upon your name and let us help. I pray that where there's any other decision that needs to be made, just a simple turnaround perhaps, a refocus, a commitment to discipleship and service, connecting to growth. God, I can't crawl into everybody's mind. It's not my job. I don't know what needs to be done, but you know, and they know. And I pray that you'll give each believer the courage and the desire to take the next step that you're calling them to take in their journey with you and toward you. Help us all to know, if there's nothing else we grasp today, Lord, is that you've called us to never just remain the same and to never just remain satisfied, but to always have the desire to know you more and to grow into you more. This is what you've taught us in this word today. And I pray that it will take root in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your worship guide. Look at the portion that says, "My decision today." Okay? Whatever speaks to your life. Okay? Write on that box. Check. Write me a note. If you're not quite sure, write me a note. We'll collect those in just a moment. I want to share a couple of life applications, though, before we go, all right? Here's what I want you to write down. I've already said it, but I wanted to drive it home. If, underline the word if you're going to grow in Jesus, you must connect with the, guess what? Body of Christ. I don't know how else to say it. You cannot grow into the head of the church, Jesus Christ, if you're not a part of the body of Christ. Not a faithful part of that interconnected family of God. You hear what I'm saying? Lone Ranger out there, you hear what I'm saying? You've got to be connected in the body. That's where growth happens. That's why we have what we have. You know, the church, if you think about this, yes, this is God's church. This is the church that Christ has designed and made. But you know who He made it for? For us. For us. Where we find encouragement, right? And instruction, discipleship, where we find discipline. This is the place. So you have to be connected here. One more thing, I want to issue a challenge. In 2016, the very minimum commitment that you can make is to give this Sunday worship gathering the priority that it deserves in your weekly life. You hear what I'm saying? A lot of folks look at just showing up for church as like the be-all, end-all, do-all of their spiritual walk. Like, I've done something for the Lord, man. I went to church. Hello. Church is not for the Lord. It's for you. Yes, we praise Him, but He designed it for us to have community and to have communion with Him. Does that make sense? So, give that body. This is the one time we gather every week. Make it a priority. Look forward to it. I do.
Thank you for listening to Sermon Audio for Crossroads Fellowship in Cadiz, Kentucky. To learn more about Crossroads Fellowship, visit www.crossroadscadiz.com for service times and ways to connect. Come visit us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and travel life's roads with us.